Shall we open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Just a while ago, we read this passage, and we shall meditate tonight's topic based on this text and some other relevant scripture portions. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 calls on young people in particular. In fact, every young man as individual is addressed when it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." What a reminder. If you read the next verse, which is part of chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." A very sobering admonition for young people. Our topic is all about recreation. Well, I don't think in our age and time we need to give a talk on recreation to our young people. They have plenty of it. They are well versed in it. You know, whenever we have a church camp or a youth activity, if you have some sort of sports or games attached to it, you don't have to think very much who to get to organize it. Just call some young people and say, "We got games, now please organize." I tell you, they will do a fantastic job. And when you are there watching them organizing the games and all that, you wonder, where did they get all these excellent ideas? They are full of imagination, and they know what's going on around the world as far as entertainment and games and fun are concerned, and they can put together these things very quickly. But we need to guide them. We can't leave it all to them because it may end up in great trouble, moral troubles. And so the leaders of the church have to guide them in organizing all these games. But it's no brainer that who in the church can come up with good games? Young people do it very well, and they have lots of ideas. Now, the scripture doesn't prevent us from having some good fun. In fact, the scripture encourages that we should enjoy as much as possible whatever God has given to us. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18, the scripture says this way. Of course, these are words of the wise king Solomon. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth to him," or "God giveth him, for it is his portion." It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink. God never says you cannot eat. Neither does he say you cannot drink. You can eat, but don't be a glutton. You can drink, but don't be a drunkard. You can rejoice in the things that God has given, but don't use those opportunities and opportunities for rejoicing for your own carnal pleasure. Everything that God has given to us to rejoice in has to be used according to God's own laws and commandments. Fermented wine is not for us to drink, especially when its alcoholic content can cause intoxication. We should avoid strong drink. But new wine, it's for our enjoyment. Nothing wrong. Eating good food, do it if God gives it to you. But don't become addicted to eating. Don't live to eat, but eat that you may live. Now some say, sex is created by God. God gave me the sexual appetite, so I'm going to enjoy. And they plunge into unbridled sexual enjoyment, saying that God made me a sexual creature. But again, as with every appetite for sex also, the Lord says it is to be enjoyed within marriage and within marriage alone. Today we are living in a world where the whole system of government and judiciary is listening to the people what they want and give it to them. And so in Ireland and in US, now we know people can have same-sex marriage anywhere they want. Homosexuality, the unbridled sexual enjoyment is for anyone at their taking as they like. It's so sad. It's so sad. And that's why the scripture says, well, God has given us certain appetite and provision for those appetite, for our sustenance, for our enjoyment. But these are not to be pursued at our will, but at the Creator's commandments and ordinances. When we go outside it, we disobey the Lord who designed those things to be used in a holy and sanctified manner. And so, we better remember this. There are all sorts of enjoyment today, especially with the new developments in technology, particularly digital and development. You have so many ways to access entertainment. You can carry it in your pocket. You can bring it into church. Sometimes I wonder when I look into the congregation, when people look at their mobile phone, whether they are looking at the Bible or whether they are playing games. I'm sometimes confused. I hope people will bring their Bible, the printed pages, rather than just digital stuff. However, I cannot stop you. And I pray that you are sincere when you take out your mobile phone or your PDA or whatever you have. And I pray that you are looking into the Bible and not into something else. Because I have heard of young people being disinterested in the things of God, even in the midst of worship, playing games. And that's very sad. And some would be surfing on the internet, looking for the things that they like to look at. And that's very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. That's having no respect for God. Defiling His name. Having no reverence for God. When we come to worship God, our minds must be sanctified. Totally consecrated to God. Not allowing ourselves to be easily pulled away into all these carnal pleasures. Now please remember, the Lord wants us to be happy. Now in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 13, we are told to rejoice. And in fact, it says in a very interesting manner, Proverbs 14, 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And then it says, and end of that mirth is heaviness. It's something that provokes our thinking. You need to know something in life that if you think laughter is everything, it's not true. Even when you are entertaining yourselves with the things of this world, sorrow is lurking around to pin you down. Laughter is good. It's like a medicine. It causes us to forget some of the sorrows that we face in life. It helps us to release our stress. Having a good laughter is good. But don't pursue it as though laughter in itself is a solution to our problems. Fun in itself is no solution to our problems. So when you go home, you turn on your entertainment system, you lie comfortably in your couch and watch these things and say, now I'm relaxing. But even at that time, sorrow might be surrounding you. And watch what the scripture says. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and at the end of that mirth is heaviness. In other words, if you pursue entertainment by thinking that that itself is a solution to your sorrow, it's going to lead you to trouble at the end. Any entertainment, any fun, any mirth that excludes God is dangerous. Because it can lead us to many sins, many unholy behavior. You know, Apostle Peter has an interesting admonition for all Christians. May I take your attention there for a while. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Apostle Peter admonished Christians to whom he wrote that letter that you might have been engaged in a life of much recreation and pleasure and entertainment. Many of them were. So with reference to their life before becoming a Christian, he said, well, you walked in lasciviousness. It was a life of lust, full of sexual orgies and all kinds of drunkenness and intoxication, and even to the point of living for nothing but carnal pleasures. Many were lost in utter wickedness and immorality because they enjoyed wine, of course here alcoholic wine, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, party-going people. That's the main thing. Should you be the same? Here in verse 4, Peter says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now, some of these Gentiles, unconverted people, think of Christians who have changed their ways that they are very strange. Christians are strange people because they don't go with us. They are not engaging in same kind of sinful activities or entertainment and pleasure. And they find it rather strange that Christians do not go with the worldly ways. Now, young people, you need to remember the kind of enjoyment and mirth that Christians should seek after are not that kind of things that the worldly people enjoy. Why? Because all these things will be examined and judged by God above. And the world may look at and say, hey, you are quite strange. How is that you don't sing the songs that we sing? Now, today you are expected to click the button like on Facebook whenever your friends put up some nonsense up on their Facebook page. And I'm getting extremely very troubled about Facebook. I'm thinking I want to close down my account. Because sometimes I go into my Facebook page and see what did my friends say or what is coming up. You know, sometimes my mouse go over some of these things and accidentally, I don't know how some of these things get clicked. And then after a while, somebody calls me and says, Pastor Koshy, did you like such and such a movie? I said, what? I never did that. But, you know, I just saw you like a movie. I said, where in the world? I don't have time for this. I never did that. And I just realized recently something wrong with my laptop. When I turn on the internet, whether it's Google Chrome or Internet Explorer, it tends to jump up and down it from page to page. It automatically opens up, and sometimes it shuts down, sometimes it goes back, and the mouse, without me touching the mouse, the arrow keep moving around. I said, what's gone? Who is inside my computer? You know, I'm so scared. I'm so scared because these things can somehow make it appear that I did watch things I didn't watch. I am dead scared to open my computer nowadays. Really. And my children were saying, Daddy, you better change your computer. I don't know what's wrong with it. It seems to be alive on its own. I don't know whether anybody put anything inside, but it seems to do all this magic. Now, sometimes I wonder, but even if the case, how come I am dragged into this problem? I can tell you, some of my so-called Christian friends who friend with me upload things that are not godly. And so when they put this up in their own Facebook page, and because I'm a friend with them, when I turn it on my page, I can see what they have put up. And then maybe I take a look at it, or I, you know, just ran through it without clicking like, but accidentally these things do happen. But if all my Christian friends put up only sanctified things, I think even if I accidentally click, it's okay, right? But that's not the case. And I'm quite fed up with my Christian friends, let me tell you. And some of you are, you know it. You're my friends. So what you put up on your Facebook or in your blog, oh boy, it's frightening in these days. And sometimes Christians have this attitude. What's wrong with it? Is it not okay? You need to be very careful. The world is constantly trying you, Christians, to go with them. The world is constantly trying to get you to go with them. And when you don't go with them, they're going to make a frown on the face. How come you're different? What age do you live in? Do you know this is
the year 2015. You mean you don't enjoy this kind of stuff? It's a very, very pressurizing world, particularly our young people. They expect you to be like them, dress like them, talk like them, walk like them, look at things just like them, sing the songs like them, dance like them, drink like them, make friends with them. Even though the scripture says, be not unequally yoked, they expect you to be their friends. The number of Christian young people bringing non-Christian boyfriends and girlfriends into the church is ever on the rise. They don't want Christian friends within the church. They go bring people who have no desire for godliness. And then they say, Pastor, this is my friend. I say, good to see you. Are you a Christian? No. And then the Christians say, oh, don't worry. She's going to believe. She said she will believe, no problem. Because she's very adventurous, you know. She will try anything. Any exotic things she will try. So she wouldn't mind to try Christianity also. Oh, look, I'm so comforted. Entertainment. You don't want the world to frown at you. You want the world to entertain you, and you want to entertain the world. And you enter into relationships that corrupt you and the church. You know, my dear brothers, God's word says we should never feel troubled when the world say, it is strange that you don't join us for these fun. Because we are expected to have a mindset that is ready to separate itself from the ways of the world. Separation, even in recreation. Now this is why sometimes some of you might have heard me saying, when we go for church camps and church retreats, we got to be very careful how we walk about. I guess you had your church camp very recently, right? Just about a week ago, I suppose. Now nowadays, church camps are held in 5-star hotels with all the pleasures of the world waiting for us to enter in. There will be sauna. No, I'm not saying sauna is a sinful thing, but you got to be careful. Massage parlors. Women of the world ready to massage you. You have gambling places. You have all kinds of parlors around. When some people are enjoying the message, you can slip in and have some of these enjoyments of the world. And also, I mean, simple pleasures like going for a swim. What's wrong with it? Nothing wrong. But the way the ladies dress and walk around in the church, in the hotel lobby, make me, oh, Lord, where am I? I came for a church camp, but look at the girls. So immodest. No shame. From the room on the 7th level, wearing swimming suit, come down and see the pastor and elder. Hello, pastor. You come out of the lift, pastor and the girl in the swimming suit. Whew. Where do you go? Church camp. You see? Our sister in Christ. And no sense of modesty. Absolutely nothing. And if you were to tell the young people in the church or the ladies in the church, please have some modesty when you're walking around. Pastor Koshi is very strange. You know, this Indian guy, he comes, you know, he never lived in a modern city. He doesn't understand. One day when I talk about this in a youth camp, The chairman was a young fellow who stood up and said, "For Pastor Koshi, this may be a temptation. For us, it's not. So this afternoon, we will have a swimming session." Oh, he must have been born in a heavenly country. No lust, no temptation. Only Pastor Koshi has. So the preacher who warned against it has become a weird fellow. So much for the holiness of some of our friends. You know, the thinking is this: trust me, I will not be tempted. Trust me, I'm all right. Mama, Dad, don't worry. I'll be okay. Even if I come every night at 2 a.m., you don't worry, you go to sleep, you know. I'm okay. I'm a Christian, you know. I got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got the Holy Spirit, you think so. You're not led by the Holy Spirit. You're led by your own carnality and lust. Why are you desperate to do these things? Because you want to be like the world. You want to make the world happy about you. You want that friendship. You cash in on your relationship with the people of the world. You're not thinking about your Savior, your Lord, who is coming again, who will judge all things, even the secret things of darkness. But Christians, we live on this earth knowing that we have to give an account to Him. Because He is ready to judge the quick and the dead. He is ready. Our Lord Jesus is coming to, listen, judge the world, not to entertain you and me. There is great joy at His coming for those who love God and live in the fear of God. And that's the reason why the preacher who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes warned young people, rejoice, yes, enjoy the things that God allows you to enjoy. You don't have to live a life of sorrow and sadness. Even in sadness, you trust in God. Enjoy whatever you have. And this is something you must learn, by the way. You know, you don't have to envy the world of its enjoyment. You can happily believe in your heart that even though there are some holy ordinance that limit our recreation activities, within that wonderful ordinance of God, there is plenty of heavenly pleasures for our soul and our body to enjoy. You don't have to go across the border that God has set and look into the devil's playground to have joy of heart. The Bible says, enjoy, you young men. And we must learn to enjoy singing. Sing God's praise. Sing words of the scriptures. Write songs. Sing it well for the glory of God. Enjoy the fellowship that you can have with your Christian friends. There are plenty of things that you can do together that can bring great joy and accomplishment for you and for Christians around you. Amazing things. And we must press on to do things that would please God and edify our souls and our bodies. That which nurture us, we must pursue. Not like the pagans. You know, if a young man in the church is of marriageable age and he wants to have a godly girl as his friend so that he can work toward his marriage. Now he can pray about it. And when he prays, God might open his eyes to see his Eve. And as Reverend Timothy Toe used to say, he will be able to go and tell that lady, "Madam, I'm your Adam." Well, the Lord will give you that joy. But then when you see your madam, you don't have to say, oh, how to now behave? How should I behave? Okay, call her out. Go to a dark place. Enjoy the candlelight dinner and sit there and behave like the rest of the world. Go for a wicked movie and then go send her home at 2 a.m. in my dad's beautiful car. No, you don't have to think that way. You can start thinking, Lord, how to take care of this fine young lady that you have given to me in a way that pleases you and strengthens her heart. Unfortunately, most young people in the church is thinking about dating and courtship in terms of worldliness. So when you look at some of the young couple that get along in the church and go out for what they call paktol, right? Okay. Or dating, you see them as utterly worldly. The way they dress, expose the body as much as they can because it's my boyfriend. He got to have a peep into my body. So licentious in the behavior. And they think they have the right to do it because they are dating, you know. Everybody is doing that. Recently I was talking to a Christian couple. And I mentioned about the children who have their boyfriends and girlfriends, and saying, oh, better pray that your children will be all right and they will not break one another's heart and misbehave and enter into any premarital sex or anything like that. And the mother said, "Ay, Pastor, what to do? The world is so different. Children are not going to listen to us." And these children do go to church. But the way they behave, parents are so worried. Why, young people, why it should be the case? Nothing wrong about having a girlfriend, working toward your marriage. But why should the rest of the people in the church worry about you? Why should your parents worry about your behavior and conduct? Shouldn't it be a godly way that everybody feel wonderful? What an example of godliness. Like Joseph and Mary. And Mary was pregnant with a holy child because of the Holy Spirit who overshadowed her. Joseph was startled in his heart. You know why? Because he was a just man. He never behaved in a wicked manner toward Mary. It was a holy relationship that they had. But today it's the other way around. They are hoping that God will prevent pregnancy. Do you know teenage pregnancy is on the rise in Singapore? Teenage pregnancy. And Christian church is not exempted from it. It's happening even within our churches. It's a shameful thing. Entertainment and pleasure, recreation. So often, young people who are courting go for recreation and entertainment without any regard for godliness. And that results in such worldliness, such carnality within the church. What can we say? What should we do? But that we make a commitment in genuine response to God's call and admonition, that we will fear God. Look, you may think these things are enjoyment, these things are pleasurable, but in the midst of it there is sorrow. Heavy hand of God can come upon you. Consequences can be so burdensome for the rest of your life. You may have great difficulty coming out of it. And let us be very careful to understand any mirth, any entertainment, any recreation without fear of God shall lead us to sorrow that results from God's displeasure. We should not seek after any pleasure that bring about God's displeasure. Only that which is pleasing to God, whether we eat or drink, whether we walk or run, whether we sit or have some activities, let it always be for the glory of God. If you have that mindset to please the soon coming judge, then you will separate from all things that are worldly and carnal. So it's good for us to take heed to what we have learned today. And avoid the wild parties of this world. All sorts of drunkenness and revelry and partying and dancing and things that corrupt our mind and our life. Stay away from them. It's not for us. Don't throw away the money that God has given to you for these things. I must address very briefly this matter of resources that God has given to you, whether it is money or time or health. Once one mother told me that her daughter started to work and become very materialistic and start buying clothes and shoes and bags, and you know, just the cupboards are filled with these things and not enough, it's overflowing, so pack them into boxes and pile them up and still don't stop buying things. And the mother confronted the girl and said, "What in the world are you doing? You're wasting money." So the daughter said, "It's not your money, it's my money. What does it matter?" Did you hear that? It's not your money, it's my money. What does it matter? I work for it. Can I enjoy? When God gives you good things, it's not for you to hoard all these things for yourself. You have a responsibility. You are to be a good steward of the things that God has given to you, that you may be a blessing to others. Just look at our cupboards and see the number of clothes we have. Boy, so many. Why are you piling up? To be like the world, to dress like the world. We change our clothes every day, and still we can't wear all of those that we have purchased. Wastage. So much wastage. If you were to have some control over these matters and save up some money and give it to the mission work of the church or some other gospel activities, or put together to help somebody who is poor, who cannot pay for the church camp fee, or want to go for a mission trip but do not have the money to go for a mission trip, why can't you do that? Oh, because we have money, we think we must buy and hoard these things, and we have the right to do so. Well, God is going to ask you, what did you do with your resources? Let us not be like the worldly people who live only for this world. Let us remember there is an eternal God who will judge us. And let us treasure up our things in heaven, not on things, not for the things on this earth. Let's not live for the world. We are not just creatures of this world. We are redeemed to be with Christ forever. If our life is hid in Christ, if our pursuit is after the things of God, then we cannot behave like the people of this world. We are called out of the darkness of this world. We are called out of the lasciviousness and lust and excessive behavior of this world. We are called to do good works that God has foreordained for all those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And let's make sure our greatest joy is to do God's will while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. So separate yourself from all these unfruitful works of darkness and unrighteousness and give yourself wholly to do God's will. And so we are taught to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our only business on earth is to fulfill the good will of God. And in that, there is great joy. There is great accomplishment. Let's don't waste our time for those things that corrupt us and corrupt others. But let's work for Christ and Christ alone. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for warning us that we may carefully make our decisions concerning the recreation of this world. We thank you for many good blessings of this world that thou hast given. You have given us more than daily meals. Thou hast given us more clothes than we need for daily use. Thou hast given us houses that are big, larger than what we need for daily life. Thou hast blessed us with so many opportunities and resources that can be best used for your glory. But so many times, repeatedly, we have squandered those things that thou hast given to us. We squandered away those things for the things and the pleasures of this world. Lord, may you forgive us, we pray. Sanctify our minds that our heart's pursuit will be after the things of God's holiness and glory. Oh, make us a holy people, a people whose mind is set on the things above, things that would please God, things that will matter at his coming, where he would say, Thou faithful servant. O Lord, please keep our hearts for thine own glory. Teach our young people to appreciate the sacredness, the solemnity, and its glory while they are young, that they will not go after the passion of the lust of the bodies, which war against the soul, but they will fight a good fight for Christ by separating themselves from the world that allure them. How thy word commands, young people, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How thy word tells us to abstain from all evil, all appearance of evil. How thy word tells us to flee youthful lust. O Lord, we pray, we will understand the gravity of these wonderful and profitable counsel that thou hast given to us. Teach us to be wise and teach us to walk in thy wisdom. Thank you for this opportunity to meditate upon your word. Continue to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.